As promised, we're joined now by Greg Gurley, color commentator on the Jayhawk Radio Network, and you hear him every single Jayhawk men's basketball evening or afternoon, and you'll hear him tonight as it'll be Bob and Greg with the call on Z96.3 The Lake, the home for the Jayhawks in North Central Kansas. KU, a big showdown at home against Iowa State. Greg, thanks for joining us. Have you recovered from that exciting Super Bowl last night?
Somewhat, yeah. That was as wild of an ending as I've ever seen, and it'll be talked about for years, and I was pulling for the Pats, so I'm happy with the outcome.
It would be tough to be a Seahawk fan this morning. I would just try to put myself in the shoes of the Seahawk faithful. If that were my Chiefs and didn't give the ball to Jamal Charles, I would be pretty upset today.
Yeah, I mean, it just makes no sense. They had timeouts. They had everything. And then my biggest question, I'm not obviously a football guy, but why wouldn't you just throw it to Chris Matthews, who was the 6'5" receiver that was been great?
Yeah.
If you're going to throw it, don't throw it right in the middle where there's all kinds of congestion.
I agree with you. Either throw a fade or run.
If you're going to throw it, do that.
Yeah, or roll Wilson out right or left and give a pass-run option because he's the most mobile quarterback in the NFL instead of just a quick drop and throw it over the middle where the congestion was. I agree with you 110%.
Makes no sense, and it's something that Pete Carroll will have to answer for the rest of his life.
Yeah.
And then that sounds like that team's going to get shook up next year anyway with Lynch, and they got to decide whether or not to pay Russell Wilson $150 million, which, I don't know, he's a haircut.
yeah, absolutely. Well, that's the beauty of sports, as we know. You can get the highs of highs and the lows of lows. There's been a lot of karma in the NFL playoffs where you have that high, and then the next thing you know, it's the devastating low. And that pertains to college basketball as well, because you certainly have seen it. You're a player at KU, and you guys have gone through more ups than downs, obviously. But I'm guessing that coaches have probably talked to you about that over the years, or you've dealt with Coach Self or whoever else that you've talked to with other teams, that there's kind of a balance, isn't there? You want to enjoy the wins, but you can't get so high. And at the same time, with the losses, you try not to get too low.
Well, a great example is Saturday. You know, we beat K-State. Probably should have been an 18- or 20-point game, but they kept it close at the end. And coaches are never satisfied. They're pleased with the win, but can never be satisfied, especially at a place like Kansas, because we constantly get everybody's best shot. We constantly play these Saturday-Monday turnarounds, knowing that, hey, we beat K-State, Sunflower Showdown, all that. That was great. Took care of business. We really can't celebrate because we got to go and avenge the loss to Iowa State about 48 hours later. And most importantly, defend your home court. If you want to win 11 straight, you've got to win all your games at home and then pick up some road wins. So that was what they were thinking, and it should have been a high because, hey, this is great. We beat K-State, and it was, but it wasn't. That's a sign of a great team that they don't, you know, they played really good in the first half, kind of muttered back and forth the second, but again, tonight's going to be huge.
Yeah, the place is going to be electric. And the thing, too, Bill Self kind of alluded to this after the game on Saturday, and I saw an interesting article in the Kansas City Star about it, is we talk so much about rivalries. And, of course, when Missouri left, really the big rival that's left for KU is Kansas State. But it's not, I'm in the middle of a lot of K-State and KU fans here in North Central Kansas. There are probably some K-State fans that hate Kansas, and there's probably some KU fans that hate Kansas State. But it's a different kind of hate. With Kansas and Missouri, that rivalry is a lot different. I think the K-State-KU rivalry is much tamer than what KU-Missouri was. And Bill Self kind of alluded to that a little bit the other day after the win against Kansas State. So is this one of those situations now with Iowa State where you hope that Iowa State becomes a team that constantly is bugging Kansas and beating them and splitting games every year to make some kind of great rivalry?
I do. I mean, I want to see the Big 12 be the best conference in the country, and right now it is. And that's because of the Iowa States that have brought their game up. Once Fred got there, they've really done such a nice job. And so, it's fun to win championships and do all that, but you want to earn it. You want to be competitive. You want to be respected. And a lot of times, you know, when you go around and just run through a league, people are like, well, you know, your bottom four are so bad, that's 8 wins, this, that, and the other. You want it to be competitive. Obviously, you don't want to split games, but if you do go up to Ames and you don't get your best shot and they play great, yeah, you accept the loss, you pat them on the back and say, okay, we'll see you at our place. And I think the comparison of Kansas State and Missouri as far as rivalry goes, you know, you look at Kansas State and the dominance that Kansas has had in basketball as of late. You know, there's always going to be some times that we lose in Bramlage, and a few years ago lost in Allen Fieldhouse. But overall, Kansas basketball has pretty much dominated them over the last 15, 20 years. And then you go to the flip side and you say football has been the complete opposite. Over the last 6, 7 years, they've completely dominated Kansas, and it's similar in that Missouri. You know, I think the difference in the Kansas to Missouri basketball all-time record is like 90 or maybe even 100, and football, it's only one game. You talk to Missouri people, they don't want to believe that it's only a one-game all-time right. series difference because they have been so good as of late. But, yeah, I'd like to see another or not another rivalry, but just some more teams that you just enjoy playing every time. And it's hard not to like the way Iowa State plays. They have a fun way of doing it. They space you out. They push it. They shoot a lot of threes. Sometimes they shoot a lot of bad shots. But, hey, that's a recruiting tool. I mean, Fred Hoiberg is getting guys to come play for them because they're going to watch this game tonight, and they're going to see that he runs a pro style of offense where it's a lot of dribble drives and penetrating to pitch out to the three-point shooter. That'd be fun. That's like what you play in the summertime.
Yeah.
If you get to do that in college and have success, it'd be a blast. And that's why he's able to get so many of these guys from all over the country that want to come to Ames, Iowa.
Greg Gurley is with us, Jayhawk Radio Network. He does the color. He'll be on the call tonight with Bob Davis. Pregame 7:30, tip at 8 as it's KU against Iowa State. You mentioned Iowa State, and there, every year it seems like Iowa State, at least under Fred Hoiberg, has continually gotten better, and they're extremely tough to beat at home, as we know. But they tend to have a loss on the road that you can't quite explain, and they lost to Texas Tech. And what makes that tough for me to understand is that I know Texas Tech is better than they were maybe in the past, but they're not a great basketball team, is that when they come to Lawrence, they play KU pretty good. Since Fred Hoiberg's been there, Iowa State, in fact, should have won the game a few years ago if Ben McLemore doesn't bank in a three. I mean, Iowa State, for some reason, seems to be the one team in the Big 12 that doesn't seem to be intimidated, that comes in and gives KU a heck of a game.
Well, the way they play is what makes them so good and also makes them vulnerable on the road. I mean, they shoot so many threes, and obviously against Texas Tech, they didn't shoot a great percentage, and Texas Tech had the game of their year. And you add all that up, and that's a loss. I mean, we were all watching it as we were flying home from Austin, and we all were convinced that Iowa State was going to come back and win that ball game. And that's one of those gifts that you get as a Kansas or wherever, that a team chasing you loses a game like that. And I've always said that's why Kansas has won 10 in a row. They don't lose those games. Mm-hmm. Granted, we had the TCU a couple years ago. But all in all, if you really add up those bottom four teams every year, Kansas most years gets a sweep of the Texas Techs, the TCUs, and then the other couple programs that are down that particular year. If you can win those 8 games out of an 18-game schedule, that's how you win championships. And that's what it's tough for the Iowa States and the West Virginias that are chasing Kansas. They got to have that mentality every week, every game. They got to go out there and win those games. And they've both had their issues. And it's what Bill Self brings, the aura that he brings, the atmosphere around the program. And he gets them ready every time. And even when they don't play great, they still win. And last week at TCU was a true example of that. You play about 99% of other programs in the country, and Kansas loses that game. The box score made zero sense. To when you look at that box score and you say, who won this game, I think 100% of people would say TCU, but Kansas able to eke it out.
I think a lot of people are looking at tonight's game and saying if Kansas wins against Iowa State, they're in tremendous shape to win another Big 12 title. And we hear a lot about Iowa State beat Kansas first time out, Kansas looking for redemption tonight. But I think a lot of people are overlooking a team coached by Bob Huggins at West Virginia that they don't play pretty ball, but they've got a whole different style. They force the turnovers. They're aggressive. They don't shoot the ball particularly well, but they're 18-3. And, Greg, KU still got to go there, and they still got to play them at home. Are we maybe neglecting West Virginia as the legitimate title contender because we're focusing so much on Iowa State, Kansas?
Oh, for sure we are. I mean, if you're interviewing Bill Self right now talking about separation with a win tonight, he'd probably correct you and say, hey, don't forget about West Virginia, just like you said. And he's right. I mean, name a school. I mean, West Virginia lost Aaron Harris last year to transfer. He would have been bad. I think what they would have been like. Obviously, he had some differences with Huggins or didn't like playing for him or what, but they lost a couple guys last year that would have been back.
Yeah.
I mean, we were looking at them last year saying, hey, this is the team to beat in 2014-15, but, you know, a couple guys didn't come back, and they're still maybe the team to beat. I mean, Juwan Staten is so good. His numbers might be down a little bit, but he's really, really good with the basketball in his hands. And they play like 12 guys, meaning they have 60 fouls to give, and they try to use 65 of those 60 fouls. I mean, they foul you and foul you and foul you and put you to the line and scrap and claw. And, it's ugly basketball to a degree. It's not always fun to watch, but they really do take advantage of all the fouls that they have and a little bit more.
Yeah, and if it's their personnel pretty well and they're off to 18-3 start, KU will have to go down there and they host them, as we said, yet this year after the game against Iowa State. Okay, so let's break down this game tonight. When Kansas lost in Ames, defense was really poor, did not get back in transition at all. Bill Self was very upset with that. It's one thing to not defend the three-point shot because, as you said, they got guys that can shoot it all the way outside the three-point line. All five of the guys typically can shoot it from there. But it's another thing not to get back defensively. I'm guessing Bill Self has pounded that into the team going into this game tonight.
Oh, no question. I mean, it made Bill Self upset. It made Bob and I really upset during the game. We were just looking at each other during that game like, what is going on? And, you know, okay, they get a couple early, but then they got 3, 4, 5. They got like 10 layups after makes. And in a five-point game, those add up, obviously, and you end up losing on the road. And so he has pounded that into every single guy on this team. And if Frank Mason, who likes to drive to the basket, if he does drive to the basket, Wayne Selden and somebody else have to understand to get back, because the big guy's got to run too, because Jameel McKay killed – we cut it to 2, I believe, in Ames, and then McKay got like 2 – he got a dunk, and then he got to the free throw line – with 32 seconds on the shot clock. So they hit us quick, and if you can take that away from them and force them to shoot from the outside in a building that is really difficult to play in, and you know that this crowd is going to be unbelievably hyped tonight and unbelievably loud. The students are back. There's no excuses. It's going to be a big-time atmosphere tonight.
Yeah, it really will be. Let me ask you about this, because when I watched Kansas recently, when they played against TCU, when they got the win there and wasn't pretty at the end, and they blew a 20-point lead against Oklahoma, then they're down 4, came back, won that at home, and then the game at Austin, I noticed that Bill Self, it seems like he's going to ride the 5 that are playing the best. You know what I'm saying? Like, a lot of teams are going to have their 5 best players out there. I mean, you know who's going to be out there at the end of the game. But Kansas has had different combinations of that best 5 at the end of each of those games I just referred to. And, like, one game it'll be Selden's on the bench, but he was there at the end of the game, I think, against TCU, K-State. And then there's another time when Obrey will be out there, and then he's not in the final few minutes. Cliff Alexander might be, then he won't be. You know what I'm talking about? It seems like Bill is kind of going with, like, in Austin, he had Devontae and Frank, and that was his backcourt. And Selden was on the bench, and people are going, why isn't this guy out there? Isn't he just going with the best 5?
Yeah, I think it's a great example of Bill Self not being afraid to change the way – the core values that he believes in. You get a lot of coaches that are system guys.
Yeah.
And all they want to do is just their system. And they don't deviate from it. They say, we're better than you are, and we're going to stick with our zone or our whatever. Whatever their system is. Bill doesn't mind changing. I mean, you brought it up. In Texas, all that Bob and I could talk about was the length of Texas. And when was Kansas most successful? When Devontae Graham and Frank Mason were on the court.
Yeah.
He didn't go with length. He went the complete opposite, and not many people would do that, and it worked. You know, he went with Frank and Devontae at the end. Wayne Selden and Oubre were on the bench most of that time when Kansas put that game away. So he doesn't mind going to something different. Look at 3 years ago in St. Louis, we played North Carolina. He ran a triangle and 2 on North Carolina, and nobody really even noticed. They hadn't run it all year, and he pulls that out, and that is the thing that beat them. I mean, it neutralized their studs, and Kansas was able to go to a Final Four. So, again, he's a guy that doesn't mind changing things up, and he's a He'll go with his gut sometimes. If he thinks something's going to work, he'll try it. Whether it deviates from what he normally believes in, it works. And I think having the courage to do that makes him so good.
No, I agree with you. All right, so Kansas tonight, you expect them to win at home against Iowa State?
What do you expect me to say?
I'm just checking to see if you're thinking clearly.
I mean, you teed me up, so you could, you know. But no, I got it. Kansas, I think it's going to obviously be a great atmosphere, and Fred's got them playing great. But I think our guys are ready to avenge the loss. And you won't get a lot of, today at Shoot Around, you won't hear a lot about revenge. But you know human nature in the back of your mind. Hey, we went up there, and, you know, that was their Super Bowl. I mean, they had College Game Day. They had 10,000 people at that Hilton Coliseum at 7 o'clock in the morning. They loved it, and give them credit. It's a great place to play. The fans were great. I was really impressed with the Hilton Coliseum crowd when they didn't rush the floor. I thought that was pretty cool. You know, that was a huge win for them, but they took it, and that's the sign. That shows you what Fred Hoiberg's brought to that program. I don't know if it was mentioned to the crowd, say, hey, don't rush the court if we win, but I thought that was cool. And so there's that mutual respect. You can't dislike Fred Hoiberg. He's a stud. We played against each other all 4 years, he's great. But I do think that Kansas gets the win tonight. I think the revenge factor, the building's going to be hot. I mean, it's going to be great. And I think they're going to limit their transition. They better. If they don't, then you might see a loss. But if they can limit that, get hands up on the shooters, and just do what they do best, Kansas will win by 7 or 8 points.
I know you're going to pick Kansas to win at least a share of the Big 12 title for 11 straight year, obviously, especially if they win tonight against Iowa State. So I'm going to rephrase this question a little bit, and that is, Kansas wins the title. Do they win it outright? They share it? And if they win it outright, how many games do they win it by?
I think they win it outright. I think 14-4 wins it outright. And I don't think they're going to share it. I think as they really look at that composite schedule of who has to play who, there's going to be some slip-ups. Kansas, we had that tough stretch where we played four top 25 teams in a row and went 3-1. We're in the middle of another tough stretch where, you know, we had to take care of business against TCU, but then against the second and third place teams, everyone look at it, K-State and Iowa State, if you can win that, you got a two-game lead on everyone except West Virginia. But West Virginia's got a lot of tough games left. I really like their team, but I do think they're going to slip up at times on the road. I think 14-4 wins it outright, obviously 15-3, the same. And if Kansas is able to get the win tonight, be 8-1, with halfway through the conference season, then I think they can even get to that 15-3. It's going to be tough going to Stillwater on Saturday, Norman later on, and obviously Morgantown, but still a lot of home games left that are all, I think Kansas is going to go 9-0 at home during the Big 12 season. So really long answer to your question, but I'm going to go 14-4. They win it outright.
All right, finally our off-the-wall question. I know I saw you at the World Series when the Royals were going for the World Championship. Did you ever think in your wildest dreams that you'd be going to a World Series game in Kansas City before you died? I mean, seriously?
I did, because I'm a complete homer. I mean, I'm a Kansas City, and I was at Game 6 in 85 as a 13-year-old, got a foul ball. I listen to every Royals game on radio. If I'm at home, I watch every game on TV. It drives my wife crazy when we're driving home from somewhere and I got the Royals game on. She thinks it's, you know, she bought into it. We had a blast going to all the World Series games together. But, you know, it's been a lot of lean years, yeah. And I've been there. And so every year I think they're going to go to the World Series. And I'm really excited about this year. I had an absolute blast in October with that ride. And coming up one game short hopefully gives them the motivation to get back to it. I like the moves they made this winter. So I'm as big of a Royals fan as there is. I had an absolute blast tailgating, hanging out at Kauffman, and that's what I hope it is like again this year and for many years to come.
Doesn't it put things in perspective, though, like how Kansas can win 10 straight conference titles and be Final Four contenders, and KU Kansas fans take that for granted because that's the norm. But when the Royals make a run and go bad for 29 years, everybody enjoys that 1 year. And if the Royals don't make the playoffs this year, people are going to still go, wow, that was an unbelievable run we had the year before.
Right. Yeah, exactly. And, you know, we look at it with we talk about Kansas football and to say, oh, it's impossible for Kansas football to come back. No, it's not. Look at the Royals, 29 years,
yeah.
And they've been bad for a long time. David Beatty's going to get these guys back, and it's not impossible. You know, in 08, they played in a BCS bowl game and won.
Yeah.
That was not that long ago, 6-7 years ago. So the Royals are a great example of, hey, you want better attendance at Kansas football games? Then win.
Yeah.
And you win, and they will come. It's Field of Dreams type of deal. You build it, they will come, and the Royals are a great, great example of that.
Absolutely. Greg, as always, we appreciate the time. We look forward to listening to you tonight with Bob for the big game, big Monday against Iowa State. And thanks for the time, and enjoy the rest of the season.
All right, thanks for having me on, guys. Anytime.
That's Greg Gurley of the Jayhawk Radio Network.